If you'll turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2 and verse 37 through 41. You know, we all have emotional scars and we've all been hurt. And when we come together here in person, and those of you that have joined us on Streamland, this is about healing the broken heart and set the captive free. This isn't about just salvation. It's about ministering, loving, healing. So with that in mind, I want to dive into the Word, do some investigating. I want to see what things that we, or I, you, can yield up to Christ. Okay? Things that we can give up, those things that keep us from being freed, having that abundant life, being healed, being happy, being completely fulfilled. So let's read in Acts 2, 37 through 41. Now, when they heard, this is after, I give you a little context, after Peter had just spoke. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord, our Lord, has called to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation," so those who received his word were baptized. And there were added to the church about 3,000 souls. So I was thinking about that. Sounds kind of exciting, doesn't it? 3,000 people in one sermon. I haven't had that experience yet. But it talks about them. One of the first things it mentions is uses the word repent. Like, change the direction you're going in. Stop living a life of hurt, suffering, problems, and to turn around and go a different direction. So that alone tells us it's not just about, that being a Christian is not just about being saved and missing out on punishment. It's about changing the direction of your life. So I was thinking about that. 3,000 people saved. So we're talking about people who are learning to stop sinning. Sin, the action original language, means to miss the mark. Miss the mark of true healing, true abundant life, being the best person you can be. If you'll turn your Bibles to 1 John 5:19. 1 John 5:19. Here it's written, it says, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." In the original language, that word wickedness is talking about hurt. So the whole world, everybody around us, including ourselves, we have been hurtful. You know, people who are hurting and suffering, that's all they have to share. Sadly, all we see in people around us is generally the side effects of what sin has done. Oh, that person hurt me. They betrayed me. They were harsh. They were mean. Whatever. We see the side effects of what sin has done people's lives. But see, God sees, when he looks at us, he sees right into the heart of a person. Right in the Bible talks of him being closer than a brother. That's because you can't get any closer than your thoughts. He's right there in our thoughts. He knows how we feel. He knows what we're thinking. He knows that moment. But he looks at people as, from a broken perspective. Just like you would a parent. And you'd feel so broken if you saw your children suffering and you just want to help them. That's what he feels. See, that's why God sent Jesus, to deliver us from suffering and having a miserable life. It's not just about the here and after. It's about right now. No more substitutes for happiness, peace, joy, fulfillment. So right now, I'd like for you, if you would, take a moment. Imagine in your mind someone you care very, very deeply about, whoever that is, child, spouse, friend, parent. Imagine them hurting, suffering, and they're in this misery state. You got that picture in your mind? Do you? Now imagine them free from all of that. They're okay now. If you can do that, now this scripture has become personal. The scripture with the 3,000. Now this personal, this scripture has come alive. We're talking about 3,000 people who now have real joy, real peace. They're no longer hurting. They've got a healed life. They've got 3,000 people who went home. Their marriages were saved from utter destruction. Their children are going to grow up without emotional scars. Their elderly are no longer, their elderly are valued now. And those people that were the least in their life is now have value. That's a big difference than just reading it as a novel or as a something that's when it's personally to you. We human beings, we have a tendency that if it's not directly relating to us, we can't relate if it didn't happen to us. The Bible, these are real people, is written down. These things really happened to them. Today, I want us to take another step in the direction of learning. I want us to talk about things such as how can we have this type of revival in our day and age. I want to talk about why the Bible tells us to deny ourselves. I want to talk about what can we do to get there. How can we get started anyway? How can we have that type of revival in our day and age? Turn your Bibles to Matthew 24 and 12. Matthew 24 and 12. While you're turning to that, I want you to think about this. We need to recognize the primary problem in the age that we all live in. What is that problem? I think this scripture is pretty clear about it. It says here, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, I thought about that. People's love waxing cold. People's love is growing cold, just to say it. But I think I have in the past have read that scripture, but I had the wrong perspective of what God was saying. Because sometimes you read that, you're like, well, I still have love. What is God talking about? I've heard a lot of scriptures or a lot of sermons about today and nowadays love is growing cold. But yet people say, well, I still love. I love my children. I love my family. I love my friends. Well, in this scripture, he wasn't talking about a human love that's going to grow cold. Because in the original language, the God's love is pronounced in English, agape love. That's what's going to grow cold in people. Agape love. It's a love that's based on you, your character. Where you see reality. What do I mean by reality? What is it that I'm seeing with this agape love? Well, it is this. You, when you look at people, you see a person. You see that they have feelings. You see that they are a human being. I mean, this is real to you. It's real to you that they're a human being. It's real to you that God loves them and that person does deserve love. Okay? That's what's going to grow cold in us, the Bible says, as times get darker. See, human love is really sentiment. Sentiment. I think it describes it quite well because a human love is self-indulged feelings of tenderness, sadness, or nostalgia. We have thoughts, views, attitudes based mainly on our emotions and not based on reason. People will love, will put, what, like, I don't subscribe to God, family, friends, and, you know, because he's 1, 2, 3. No, it's just God. There is no 1, 2, 3. I love God with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, period. And everybody else, I should be perceiving it through the agape love. I minister to them because they are a human being, not because they're my son or just my daughter, just my family. That's a self-centered point of view. We're protective of our family. That's not Christ. Everybody is God's children. He's not down here going, well, this family's important, this family. No, everybody's important to God. Everybody's family matters. Every child is important to God. They all have equal value. It's an animal instinct to be family first. No, it's God, not just first, but foremost. And whoever he tells you to minister to in that day, that's who you minister. That's who you value. That's who you see. It might be your wife today or husband, but it might not be. It might be somebody else's child today you should minister to because everybody's dropping the ball. We are living in a broken environment. Parents are not always good parents. They can't always be because they have hurt. God may have worked on me to a point where I can be the parent today and minister to them. But if I'm functioning out of sentiment, I am going to respond to people in a human love. It's going to be based on if we are functioning in this human sentiment of what love we think love is, if their response pleases us, then we'll respond in kind. It's true. I am talking about a perspective of life where you can be free. Because the more truth you understand, the more freer you will become to be your very best. See, the lack of spirituality, when people grow up, they will grow up without this fruit of the Spirit. And then we get hurt emotionally. And then after a while, you become desensitized to all the people, the things going on around you. Let's turn to, I'm jumping around here. Okay, let's turn to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Those of you that are watching my shots, I apologize because I touched too many buttons. Well, anyway, just listen to my voice. Matthew 16, 24. Okay, once again, I apologize. I don't want to turn to that scripture. Turn to Galatians 5:22. I'm sorry. When I was punching my little buttons here, I read it and then quoted it wrong. Galatians 5:22. We'll get back on track here. As you're turning to that, I want to make another statement about this last scripture I had said earlier. They also use another interesting word called iniquity. I thought about that. Iniquity. That word in the original language means lawlessness. I wondered, why did God use that word, or why did Jesus use that word? People are becoming desensitized because they're lacking something. Okay, so think about that. There's something that we're lacking. And in Galatians 5:22, I'm going to quote to you what we're lacking. Because I mentioned the fruit of the Spirit. Well, what is the fruit of the Spirit? Some of the things are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness. That's not all of it, but that's some of it. I'm talking about a perspective of life, and I said you could be free. In Matthew 16:24. Now let's turn to that. Matthew 16:24. Jesus said, told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, if anybody wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. So think on that for a minute. I just talked to you about what's going on in our age. The part of us, our character is becoming broken down. Our character is becoming less like Christ, less like God, is what's happening in our age. And that's the love that can handle anything, can see people for who they are. That's what's becoming cold. And Jesus says, and I'm getting one of the answers to for ourselves is why we're becoming that way is because we are not denying ourselves. Here we like to use the word die to ourself. Why do I use the word die? Some people don't. That's not always comforting to hear the word die. But we say die to self. What we're really trying to communicate is that the self part of me, that self-centered part, no longer has influence in my decisions. Okay? I'm talking about changing my perspective. Stop looking at life through that lens or through that perspective of self, how it affects me. Because, see, I can even do good from a self perspective. You wonder, well, you know, sometimes when we're trying to help people, we're trying to do something good for someone. Okay? Think of an example in your mind. You're trying to do good. You're trying to help someone. And then they hurt you. Or they're not very thankful for helping you. There's sometimes I've helped people. And they weren't very thankful about it. They actually treated me like they expected it. Well, sometimes when people bother us, because I've felt this way, I've heard people say this, well, that person's not very thankful, I'm sure not going to help them again. We distance ourselves from people. Well, that's a kind of a clear, that's a red flag. You're not doing this out of real love. You're doing this from a perspective of self. Because, see, like I said before, people who are hurt, that's what they have to give often. That's all they got. Because if everybody could be in their right best frame of mind, they would not want to be hurtful. Everybody wants to have, if they're going to have a marriage, they want it to be a good marriage. If they're going to have children, they want to be proud of their children. Their children be proud of them. We get a job, nobody goes and get the job they're going to hate. We hope we're going to like it. Nobody wants to live in the worst country in the world. We want to live in the best country in the world. See what I'm saying? We all want to try to achieve the best, but we achieve way so often way less than that in our lives. You know, we've got to be willing to let people disturb our space, Christians. Especially with the brothers and sisters in the house of the Lord. We need to be willing to let people bug our space, bother our space. The world would be a better place. What's the world? Well, those of you out there in Streamland, what's your world? Those around you. People is our world. If you want the people around you to be better, they need to be healed. Well, if we are the eyes and the hands of Christ, we must play a part in that healing. Somebody touched me. Somebody touched you. Somebody touched you. Now you need to touch someone else. But to do that, we have to be willing to let people in our space. We are self-focused quite often, tuned into ourselves, because people have hurt us as we're growing up. We get emotional injuries. We got emotional scars. They get triggered by other people's emotional scars. You know, you thought, Joe, what do you, Pastor, what do you mean that somebody triggers me? Well, have you ever got into a conversation where you feel fine, everything's great, and then this person's intense? They're mad. And all of a sudden, you feel yourself getting riled up. And next thing you know, everybody's riled up, and nobody really knows who started it. Well, somebody triggered, usually it's because we triggered each other's injuries. I have gone in situations thinking, I'm going to help, and I end up making it worse because I got riled up because I didn't like something they said. They triggered an injury in me. It's because I feel bothered because I approached it by how I feel and how it was affecting me rather than having my thoughts focused on Christ. Because see, have you ever been doing something, been in pain, been doing something, don't feel good, and then you get involved in something and that takes all your attention and then you forgot you're in pain? I've done that. Didn't even think about it. Well, one thing that my pastor years ago, when Mike Akins used to be here, he used to be our pastor many moons ago, he had said to me one time that, you know, if you put your focus on someone else rather than yourself, focus on others, your pain will be less. I will feel less pain when I'm thinking about someone else. I mean, he used an example, I can't remember her name, but that it was years and years ago before my time. No, Betty Ford. She was an alcoholic, suffered, couldn't stop drinking no matter what they did for her, no matter what she did. But then when her son got sick, boy, she had no problem stopped drinking. Was at his bedside the whole time. Now, how was she able to resist that urge and that suffering she was going through? Because she cared about someone else. Okay, just an example. Now, what can we do to get started? I want to get started. How about you? I mean, I want to get started in this direction. Well, one thing you can do is change your value system. Change your value system. Let's turn to Matthew 6 and 25. Change your value system. Before I make a comment on that, let's read. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, nor about your body, what you're going to put on. Is not life more than food and drink, and the body more than clothing? Sometimes we read these scriptures and you might feel like, oh, that's just Jesus. That's Jesus. Isn't that just like Jesus? My dad used to say, isn't that just like Jesus? But now we say it like, I can't do that because that's just like Jesus. I ain't like Jesus. You know what I mean? We act like Jesus is so far out there. But Jesus came down to show us what we could do. He said we will do his things he did and better or greater. Okay? So think about that. You should be saying, that's just like Job. Or that's just like Esther or Amber or anybody else's name. Sometimes, I put it like this. Having nice things is not wrong. Just because sometimes people say, you say I can't have nice things, Pastor? No, I'm not saying you can't have nice things. What I'm saying is the value that you use in the perspective of things in life determines whether or not that's wrong or right. What do I mean by that? Well, how you respond to others and life will be about your value system. You get a nice car and you pick up some kids for church and you're ready to throw them out halfway there because they're stabbing in your seat, scratching your side, you're breaking things, spilling food. I just bought the car. So you're not very Christ-like to them because they messed up your car. You know, I used to go home and visit my mom back in the day when she's alive, and she was, you know, always worrying about her house being clean, you know, worried about, and then you bring the kids over. Now, after a while, when I was a kid, I used to get what they call a whooping if I messed up the house. But then my brother would bring over his kids, and they would dirty up the house, and mom and dad didn't seem to care. And I thought, that's not fair. Well, because somewhere along the line, they learned what true value was. They were just excited about the grandkids coming over to visit them. Their grandkids were more valuable than those possessions. They learned. We offend people, and we are offended based on value. What we value, what value system you use in this life determines when you will be offended by something. And when you are offensive to others, a person and your character of Christ is more important than any temporary thing. And so this life is temporary. My body is temporary. Everything is temporary. What's more important is what I just shared with you. People hurt. And they don't live up to what you value. Whether it be whether it's a practical thing, or your opinion, or your thoughts, or your feelings, anything that's an extension of life, if you got the wrong value system, you're going to respond wrong to people. See? Because we can be just as protective of our opinions as we are of that nice car or that nice house, because our value is that we're using the wrong value system. We need to exchange that value system for how Christ would see things. What is valuable to Christ? The scripture is full of information to teach us this. What he valued, what was important to him. If you'll turn your Bibles to Luke 17:33, another thing you can do to get started today is don't try to preserve your comfort zone. Everybody, there's some laughter going on here. We all know what that means. Some of us do anyway. The scripture here, it says in Luke 17:33, whosoever seeks to save their life shall lose it, and whosoever loses their life will preserve it. Hey, when it comes to what you're comfortable with, whether it's your emotional comfort, possessional comfort, whatever it is that you're thinking of right now, you need to reach for something more. You need to look for something deeper, richer, meaning in Christ. Look at uncomfortable situations as opportunities to learn. Yield to that teaching experience rather than it being a hindrance. Often we look at things as hindrance rather than an opportunity to learn. We get bothered by people. People are a hindrance to us rather than us saying, you know what, get out of your comfort zone. So you know what? This person bothers me. So I wonder, how can I learn to navigate in Christ their personality? Because the more people that you learn to navigate their personality in Christ to minister to them, the more people you can reach and the freer you will feel. Because think about this. You're probably going to, you ever have a certain personality you don't like and you run into that kind of personality often? Well, if you could learn to be okay with that personality and learn to work through it and it no longer bothers you, then now that's one personality out of your way. Just think about it. Reach for your unlimited potential in Christ. But you can't do that if you stay in your comfort zone. If you try to protect that comfort zone, you can't reach for your best in Christ. Think about this. Joseph stepped out of his comfort zone. Now, God didn't change his circumstances. The people he counted on, his family, his relative area, tossed him into a hole, then pulled him out, sold him. He became a slave. Well, he became the very best slave that he could be. Then he got accused, got thrown in prison, became the very best prisoner pretty soon. You know, I think that's pretty good. Think about this. He was thrown in prison, and the warden trusted him so much, the warden gave him the key to the prison. Because he became the best prisoner. He was so good, even the warden didn't have to do nothing. And then finally, he became right up there in charge, right just under Pharaoh, in charge of the king. God gave him a kingdom. There was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stepped out of their comfort zone, and they survived the fiery furnace. And it affected the king's thinking and affected the whole country at that time. I thought about this one. That Amy mentioned some of these to me, like Stephen stepped out of his comfort zone and he got stoned. Now you might think, oh man, see what I'm saying, Joe? Step out of your comfort zone, you're going to get stoned. But because of what happened to him, because of his vigor, because of his boldness, because it said that after that, the church took off and reached further than it ever had before. People got motivated by his courage. Apostle Paul stepped out of his comfort zone and became a Christian. And he touched all the known world. Whether you think you like him or not, he touched the whole, spread the Christianity everywhere that we know. Because he stepped out of his comfort zone. Think about it. If Paul was a big time, high up ranked Pharisee, he took a big chance on Christianity. And then he touched the whole world, the known world that time. Stop substituting your peace, your joy, your value, and face your problems. Let's turn to Jeremiah 6 and 16. Jeremiah 6 and 16. We're going to deal with substituting for what's real in these areas. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see. Ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Then you will rest. There will be rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. So there's some people who won't. But I was kind of excited about that. It says, if you will stand and firm in what you're going through and look for those old, I call them the old ways because we call them the old ways. I remember one time Elijah was a kid. He goes, why do I need to listen to these old people in the Bible? 6,000-year-old old people. Because they learned. Go back to learn. Go back and get a hold of what are the right ways to do this. And it says, then you will find rest for your souls. Substitution for peace. What do we do? What is a substitution for peace? Well, one way is to withdraw from uncomfortable circumstances with people. Do you know that's what you're doing? Well, I'm going to hermit up here. Yes, I can turn words into verbs. I'm going to hermit up in my house or whatever you do, you know. Why? You're wanting to find peace. You're substituting peace. That's not real peace. Or we stick with familiar psychological positions to feel safe. It creates a temporary illusion of peace. What do I mean by that? Well, we don't like to hear negative feedback from people about ourselves. We're very defensive often, because that's unfamiliar territory. It can't be true. It can't be right. It doesn't feel safe. Well, God might be trying to share something with you through someone so you can let that go so you can experience real peace. But we'll avoid it. We avoid controversy with people, or already said this, avoid negative input about ourselves. We avoid these things. This is a form of trying to find peace. Sometimes we have substitutions for joy and happiness. Sometimes people will go from one relationship to the other because it creates a certain high, emotional high, feels like happiness. Sometimes we will do things to seek people's opinions, approvals. Makes us feel kind of happy. Sometimes it's material possessions. I know guys joke around about women going out and buying a new dress makes them feel happy. You know, but guys, you know, you get yourself a good, really good tool, you're pretty happy. We're always like, that's not the same thing. This is useful. But let me tell you something. A dress is useful. Or a new purse. I know Amy goes, Amy, I'm like, why do you always got that big giant purse? And she goes, because you always want me to carry stuff for you. And I'll say, I do not. You got that such and such. But I don't want my wife looking like a dude. So I'm pretty thankful for that dress. I'm pretty thankful that she dresses up, you know. Very useful. I'm going to get in trouble later. Sometimes we'll do dangerous activities to feel happiness, to feel like you're alive. I thought about that. I said, I wonder what kind of dangerous activities people do. So I looked it up. People will do what they call helo skiing. I can't pronounce it. I guess they get on a helicopter, go way up there to where, get on the mountain, and it's either you live or you die on the way down. Scuba diving into dangerous areas, mountain climbing, proximity wing suit flying. I don't know what that means. I guess you get in a suit and you fly. Jump off something dangerous. I don't know. Because, you know, there's only one way down. Free solo climbing. These are all categories of people that is actually classified by everybody as dangerous. Base jumping or hang gliding. I know what some of those are. There's even more than that. That's just what I was willing to write down. Why would we do these crazy things that risk our lives? All it takes is one misstep in most of these situations. You could die. Yeah, or worse. You could live suffering and miserable the rest of your life. It's because we want a thrill. We want to feel alive. We want to feel happy. Risk falling into a coma if you go fishing. We do these things because instead of getting into God's word and finding out what happiness actually is. Happiness is a way of thinking. It has nothing to do with how you feel. We feel all kinds of things. But if I can think in a way, I can be happy even when I don't feel good. Because happiness is a way that you think. Love is a way that you think. A God's agape love is how we think. So it doesn't matter what people do to us. If we think in God's way of thinking, then the environment around us does not have any influence over us. We can be happy and have nothing or have something. We can treat people as a human being with respect and love and courtesy, no matter whether how broken they are. And they might change because of that. The last scripture I'd like to leave with you. Okay, don't worry about what I got up there. Colossians 2:8. Let's all turn to Colossians 2:8. I'm going to leave you with close with this scripture. Colossians 2:8. Be aware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. So, exchange your value system for Christ, okay? Don't try to preserve your comfort zone. Reach for your unlimited potential. Hey, no substitutions. Some of us will go buy a certain drink, or we want certain types of food, and we don't want substitutions. We don't want the generic. We want the real thing, right? So do that with Christ. I want the real thing. I don't want the diet Christ. I want the real thing. I don't want the diet slim down Christ. I want the full Christ. I want the full experience. Reach for the real deal, real peace, real happiness, and be the real you in Christ. Amen? Thank you for being with us. We are glad that you're with us. We're excited about life and these things and all the things we're looking into in God's word to dig out that truth, dig out that transforming truth. Be with us here at 11 a.m. next week. God bless you, and thank you for being with us. Thank you very much.